Very good to be together this evening. Christmas, as you know and have experienced, can be a time of difficulty for some people. In fact, for a number of people, it can be sad. It can be difficult in a number of ways, as well as happy for a number of people as well. And there could be mixed feelings that go on, or you can just feel too rushed. Not us, of course, but other people may feel too rushed. During our most recent years in Phoenix, Carol and I, of course, were separated from most of our family. I did have a brother there, but he was very busy in his church, just very busy. And we didn't get to see him that much over the holidays. And we had chance early on in our time there, because we were doing a church plant and it's hard to find a place to meet on Christmas Day and all that. So we could come here and see our family over Christmas. But there, about the third year or so there, that wasn't going to work out and we weren't going to make it. And there we were on Christmas Day. And for the first time in our lives, we didn't know exactly what you're supposed to do when there's no family around or what's going on. So we went to the movies. And we went to the 1 p.m. matinee. We got there, and to our shock, we had to park way out in the parking lot, which was, you know, taking up half of the desert there in Phoenix, because it was full. And we walk into the movie theater, and there's a long line for the tickets. And we saw The Blind Side. It was our standard book. It was a great movie. And we get there, and there's hardly any seats in the theater. Finally, we find two together. And I'm looking around, and I say to the person next to me, why are all these people here now? And she didn't skip a beat, didn't even think about it. She said, because we hate our families. That's very... Carol says, stop talking to people. Don't do that. And, I mean, I knew it could be difficult, but here was proof. Anecdotal, but still proof. And I had seen that, you know, a number of times just in pastoral ministry, and I'm sure you have seen it in your own life with people that you know, and perhaps even if in your own personal experience. Something isn't right, and you don't know what to do. And all of us have some relationships that are toxic, and we need to draw a hard boundary and be very careful. And then some of us have had difficulties and maybe not quite as bad, but they're still there. The wound is still there. The bruise is still tender. And so we shut a lot of people out so that that won't happen again. And we learn how to be around people and not be with them. Sometimes it's less painful. One of the things that God tells us about himself, and in fact, the foundation of the Christmas celebration, is that he is with us. He's with us right now. In fact, that's his name, Emmanuel, God with us. And it really doesn't matter too much what's happened to you, where you've been, who's betrayed you, who has set you aside or hurt you or demeaned you, or what's gone wrong, or what you've done to yourself that you now look back and regret. God is still with you. That's his name. He's always true to his name, and he will be with you always. There will never be a time that God is not with you, right there. Right there in every way, as Paul wrote, for who can separate us from the love of Christ? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that includes everything that's going on in our lives. Now, I believe there are a couple of ways to approach that. And one way, the first way I want to look at for a moment, is how to receive that. What that means for us. And then what that means for the way we live after we receive it. Those two steps, which are very important, they're part of the foundation of Christian discipleship, because it gets us into the name of God, the identity of God, and the reason that he's come after us, which in fact he has done. So the way that you would receive that you would know that God is with you, it's not if you can memorize the most Bible passages. That would not be it. Yes, you know, it's a wave of relief just went through the whole place. It's this. When you open up to God the place you don't want anyone else to know, and you meet him there, and you know you're still his. Now, for different people, that'll be a different place, a different matter, a different feeling. For some, it'll be some guilt. For some, it may be shame. For some, it may be some deep regret. For others, it may be just, everybody told me I wasn't good enough. My family never accepted me or encouraged me. It may be something else. It may be the job you always wanted and got, and in about a week, the boss said, you're gone. You're not the right one. Or it may be your family that fell apart, or some other thing like that happened, that you just don't want to go into. What? Oh, okay. You just don't want to go into that at all. So, you don't want to face it. You don't want anybody else looking at it. And yet there it is, and it never goes away. Yeah. And you let God in there. Right there. That's how you know he's with you. All right, go ahead. Just take a minute. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I was thinking of leaving myself, but no, I'm not going to do it. Stay right here. No. It would have been fine for me too if he'd stayed, but nonetheless. All of that has to do with God will be with you even in the places you don't want to be with yourself. And God will be with you in the places that other people never wanted to be with you. And God will be with you in the places where other people told you, I want you out of my life. God will be with you in the places where you felt, for whatever reason, you never measured up. He's with you right there. He's with you right there to take you in, to make you his own. He's got your name written on the palm of his hand. He will never, ever let you go. In every conceivable place that is within your soul, God is there. And even if you're running away from God into the darkest place that you can imagine, as David wrote in Psalm 139, if I go to the depths of the darkness, you are there. And that can open up things in your life that you never imagined, you never thought were possible. Things start happening within you that you did not dream of. They didn't occur to you because there was no place for them, no room, until God came and touched it and said, I am with you and you are mine. And you will be mine forever. And I will never, ever, ever let you go. Now that means something for the way we live and the way that we are. Because often what happens, perhaps often is a little too strong, but what can happen is this. We feel that release. We feel that freedom. We feel that joy. We feel that identification with God. We begin to get a hold of the purpose for our lives, and we start to want to do things for other people, which is great. I think that that comes from God. I think seeing people in need and wanting to do something for them is part of the mercy of God. But then if you have let the love of God and the mercy of God shine into a dark spot or a bruised place or some place where you were unable to accept yourself for whatever reason, as you go about doing something for someone, there'll be something flowing underneath that. Something that's saying, that was great, but what's next? And very powerfully, but simply, what the Holy Spirit will do will be to change your preposition. And in place of, and in addition to, doing something for someone, He moves you and equips you and empowers you to do something with someone. Because you're taking on the name of Jesus, God with us. None of that means you stop doing things for people, helping with the safety net in the community, helping with different programs and outreaches that really meet some needs that would not otherwise be met. But you, because you know Jesus, and you know that He's touched you, there'll still be that flow that comes along and says, what else? And that what else is the step of your life into being with someone else. See, it goes along this pattern. Jesus came from heaven to us, looking for us. You might say He came down. And He came after us so that we would be able, by His power, to respond to Him. That's the pattern. He comes after us, and then we can turn to Him. Other religious systems start with us and give you a pattern for how you reach up to God. For us, it's God has reached towards us so that we can respond to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And then we see that He's with us. We see that He'll never let us go. We see that He's always there. We see that He'll be there to heal and empower us in everything, accepting us completely, no matter what. What He does is begin to put that pattern into our lives. So if you can picture the Christian life like stepping onto an elevator, you're following Jesus, steps onto the elevator of the Holy Spirit. There's one button to press, going down. And sometimes God will take you into someone's life so that you will be with them in a way that they see Jesus through you and are able then to open their hearts to Him and receive the significance that He starts speaking into their lives. And they start moving into the pattern for which they were created, and the full dignity for which God desires for them to live in starts opening up, because you have taken that other step into their lives, which is with them. No matter what they do to try to trip you up because you're a Christian, fool you, offend you, or just generally be difficult, when you are with them, the power of the Holy Spirit overcomes it and opens up something that wasn't there before. That's how the faith is transferred from person to person, heart to heart, family to family, house to house, is by being with one another in such a way that's open. It's the same way as God is with you. You are with other people. That's the kind of thing I believe God is calling us to, where we would be able to draw out from people who don't even realize it themselves, that they have a beauty and a purpose and a significance and a gifting and a power and a love that was placed there by God, and it can be released out of their life to affect the world around them because they have come to know through you that God is with them. Now, I think the challenge that that means for us is always not giving up the preposition for, doing something for or to someone. Always holding on to that, always doing that. But looking for the door that says with on it. Because of all the people that you may be able to do something for so that they're built up, there may be one or two, maybe three, we're behind the door that says with. You step through the with door, and it gets very messy and sometimes really hard. And every time is the spread of the kingdom of God to those who are ready to walk in it. And it's come through you. All it takes is understanding. And I define understanding as seeing in somebody else what Jesus sees in them. It's easy to observe somebody's got the wrong idea, they're about to do the wrong thing, they really need to do this instead. And all of that is excellent observation and can be very helpful. I would encourage you to think that understanding is seeing what Jesus sees in another person. That's the doorknob on the door that says with. You see that, it opens the door. Then you start walking into that life with great mercy, great power, and great love. And what comes of it? Well, today, God only knows. When you step through it, it'll be something you may have never imagined. So what I really want to encourage you to do this evening is to be thinking about who in my life is a whiff. Is there a whiff in my life? And there may be some names that come to mind. And then when that happens, the question is, what are the steps God wants me to take to be with that person in the way that He desires? That will open up the way to walk with Jesus in a way that perhaps we've never experienced before. Not only will that open up doors individually, but as a fellowship with St. Francis, my experience of this church up to this point, as I've mentioned, is a deep, rich hospitality. And hospitality is the ability to be with. This whole fellowship can be with this community in a way that the kingdom of God opens up and spreads to places it is yet to influence. I don't know. I just have this sense that 2014 will be marked by that, among other things. The spread of the kingdom of God, because God is with us. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come after us, that you've taken us and accepted us and loved us no matter what. We ask that we would take on your mercy and take on your character, and that you would remove from us any judgment, anything that puts anyone else down for any reason, and that you would allow us to walk like you and see your kingdom of love spread from heart to heart and house to house from this day on for the rest of our lives, for the glory of your name. Amen.